Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest a Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Guillaume Duhamel. And in the interest of full disclosure, we should note that the Duhamel family is a contributor to Rhode Island Public Radio. Thank you for joining us, Guillaume.
Great to be here. Thanks, Ian.
We're going to start off by talking about how lobbyist and former state rep Ray Rickman has amended a 2010 state filing to indicate that he had loaned $10,000 a year earlier to then House Majority Leader Gordon Fox. Guillaume, Ray Rickman is a supporter of yours. He hosted an event for you. Are you comfortable still having his support given how he took a very long amount of time, 4 years, to make the appropriate state filing on this matter?
First off, I'm proud of the overwhelming support I have statewide, and really I hate to single out any individual supporter. That said, I certainly feel it's appropriate that questions should be asked, that the Secretary of State's office is conducting an investigation. If there's any finding of wrongdoing, action should be taken.
Have you had any conversation with Ray Rickman about why he took so long to make this filing?
Not at all. No. I mean, I it's a shame that that there wasn't more disclosure initially, but I'm looking for support, broad-based support. I'm in a statewide race in a primary, and I'm looking for, you know, support from everybody.
Scott, we've seen a couple of instances where the issue of undisclosed information from lobbyists has surfaced, including Mike Corso. What do you think could be done to have a more transparent system?
Well, obviously, the state needs to be tougher on this kind of thing. Sunshine is always the best disinfectant in all of these matters. And it's sad. I do understand the longtime friendship between former Representative Rickman and Gordon Fox. But this isn't the first time Fox has gotten in trouble with this. We saw this with the State Ethics Commission. Then, of course, there was the federal and state police bust of his office. So this just doesn't look good again for Gordon Fox. I hate to say it.
Maureen, what's your explanation for why someone like Ray Rickman, who, after all, is a former deputy secretary of state, why would he take years to make this kind of filing that is required by law?
Well, I mean, my guess is, I don't know for sure, but my guess is they are longtime friends, and it was a personal loan that he talked about. He also did mention the fact that people amend their list all the time. This is a huge transgression, though, and I really think that it underscores the fact that we have to be more careful in terms of convincing or mandating, especially given the limitations of the Ethics Commission, that these contributions or loans be recorded in a more timely way.
We're going to go with some questions for our special guest, Guillaume Duhamel. Guillaume, you've got a lot of endorsements, including one from the State Association of Firefighters. Paul Reed of that union hailed you as a voice for working men and women. So tell us, what specifically have you done to advocate for the working men and women of Rhode Island?
Again, I'm proud of the diverse coalition of support that I have statewide, including the firefighters and many, many other working men and women throughout Rhode Island. I've worked. Actually, I'm the only candidate in this race who's started a small business in Rhode Island. Worked for a small construction company, the same construction company I worked all those summers in high school and college, where I really certainly gained an enormous amount of appreciation and understanding of some of the challenges that any small business, but particularly those in Rhode Island and working men and women face, and the obstacles they face here in Rhode Island. That's why I'm running for Secretary of State, to really help improve specifically the business climate, to help cut the red tape, to help people navigate their government. And that's where the Secretary of State's office can really make a transformational impact.
Let's go to Scott.
You're the only Newporter in this race. How are you going to vote on the table games issue at Newport Grand? Or they want to expand that, you know?
You know, it's back on, as we know, it's back on the ballot again. I am personally not necessarily in interest of it. In supporting of it right now, I'm certainly open to hearing the pros and cons on both sides.
So you're going to duck the question?
Well, no. Actually, I'll tell you, I'm disheartened by the fact that the Rhode Island still relies on casino gambling as the third highest source of revenue. And really, again, there's another example of why we need to diversify our economy. And not to make another pitch for the Secretary of State's office, but really focusing on small businesses and how can we help Rhode Islanders get back to work, and really helping businesses get back involved and help them be able to navigate our state government so that we don't rely on one source or two or three sources. You know, I mean, one casino, we see these casinos closing left and right, Atlantic City, I'd really rather focus on a diverse economy.
Let's go to Maureen.
While we just talked about the transgressions in terms of recording lobbyist contribution, when you read the statute for lobbyists, it's very, very broad. And my concern now is that even looking at from the outside, that the whole idea of recording and paying attention to this has been caught up in electoral politics. And it's one thing to hold hearings and so forth, but this sort of smacks of self-aggrandizement when it comes to electoral edge. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, I'm, Professor, I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm proud. We're the first to come out with really the biggest and boldest plan on lobbying reform. And you're right. We need to connect the dots. That's incredibly important. We need to clarify the rules and regulations, the statutes, to make sure that there's no ambiguity and also clearly provide a time frame. I mean, the General Assembly is in session for 6 months. Let's make sure that coincides with reporting and there's a clear, concise time frame when there's an investigation started and when people have to submit a response, et cetera, et cetera.
But my question really has to do with who's a lobbyist. In other words, if you read it, it's really broad. They're talking about now about Kurt Schilling being a lobbyist, and he should have, you know, disclosed that. I mean, I think this is an overextension. What I'm talking about is a sensible look at this outside of the election.
We've done that, too, in our lobbying policy reform package. We actually talked about clarifying that, getting rid of the limited lobbyists definition, because again, it creates some ambiguity. Who is, who isn't? I mean, does one instance count? Two, three? Do quasi public privates have to file? There's some instances there with directors weren't complying with that. So I agree.
I'd like to offer a reminder to our listeners that next Tuesday at 7 p.m. we'll feature a special live one-hour political roundtable with Republican gubernatorial candidates Alan Fung and Ken Block. This past Tuesday, we heard from the four Democratic candidates for governor. Guillaume, have you decided who you're going to be voting for in the Democratic primary on September 9th for governor?
I'm focused on this race. It's a statewide race. I realize how much incredible time and effort goes into it. I'm encouraged by the great selection of people and that are running right now.
Can we get a yes or no answer on whether you've decided who you're going to vote for governor on September 9th?
I, like other voters, am equally interested in looking at I'm watching the ads as you are and everybody else as they're rolling them out. I hope that it stays positive and not personal attacks on the on this race. Same with my race. I hope it stays to the issues. There's certainly a lot of important issues, both in my race and in the governor's race, that really can impact voters.
Maureen, quickly, what was your main takeaway from the Democratic debate we had here on Tuesday, and particularly the two frontrunners, Gina Raimondo and Angel Taveras?
Well, one of the things I find interesting is they're all against voter ID. So that's consistent with the Secretary of State candidates. That was one thing. I think they were very competent. One of the interesting distinctions we heard was that Clay Pell was the only one who did not support the Common Core, but the other two main candidates in education seemed to be on the same page in terms of supporting continued evaluations and testing in a limited, measured way. And I thought they were very good.
How about you, Scott?
Well, I was interested in a couple of things jumped out at me. First of all, the Gina Raimondo reinvention tour is really doing quite well, I think. We started with her, got to know her as a Rhodes Scholar, went to Harvard and Yale Law School, and now she's Gina from Greenville. She's a mom who sends her kids to public school. I thought she was the most energetic during the debate. I also, however, thought that Taveras did fine, and I think he had a couple of really good moments with the zinger on a mistake he'd made. He was very contrite about firing all the teachers. I thought he came across well. There are not huge policy differences among the Democrats, so we're going to see just who throws the first punch. So far, of the two leaders, no one has gone negative.
All right, we're out of time, so we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Thank you.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Guillaume Duhamel.
Thanks again for having me back.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org. You can also find the audio there for our debate this past Tuesday with the four Democratic candidates for governor.